Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest this morning is Susan Kaufman, an author who's come out with at least two books that have the same title almost. One is called Walk With Me, New York, and the other one is called Walk With Me in the Hamptons. I guess we'll be talking about what they comprise in a few minutes, but I'd like to ask first, what made you think to do this? Have you done other towns, or is this your first two?
The New York book was my first book, which came out in May of 22. And I've never done a book before. I had never done a book before, but I had worked in magazines for 35 years as a fashion editor and an editor-in-chief. And I always did my own photography. So the book really came out of pictures I was taking on my iPhone and posting on Instagram of my walks through New York City and the Hamptons. And after about 4 or 5 years of posting on Instagram and hearing from people, I would love to walk with you, and why don't you do a book? And, you know, after shooting for quite a while, I started thinking, well, you know, that could actually be a possibility. And so it really grew organically out of the pictures I was taking on my iPhone, the pictures I was posting on Instagram, and then having a background in magazines. I also thought, Instagram is great. It could go away tomorrow. I have no control over this. And a book is something you can have forever and hold in your hands, and you have something to show for it. So that's how the New York book came about. And then 2 years later, the Hamptons book came out.
Were they each met with success? Have they been, have people bought them and enjoyed them?
Dan, I have to tell you, first of all, thank you for having me. But the New York book, I really did as this is a project. It's with Abrams. I got a great publisher. I had my expectations were, I hope I can sell 5,000 copies, because that would be a legitimate, nice number to sell a book that's a photo book. And the book started with a 10,000 print order and sold out in the first 3 weeks. So the New York book is in its 11th printing, and I think I haven't gotten my latest royalties report, but I think it's upwards of 70,000 copies. So, and I think it's even selling better now than it did when it started. And the Hamptons book just came out in May, so I've only gotten one feedback, and it's already doing quite well. So I think the New York book will probably be a much bigger seller than Hamptons just because it's New York. But the Hamptons book is holding its own. It's doing really well.
Well, it could be the Hamptons book. If they see it here, then pick it up in the city as the other one, because they're back and forth. This is just a thought.
But yeah.
Let me go back to, you said you were editor-in-chief of a magazine. So I thought, what magazine was that?
It was an offshoot of People magazine called People Style Watch, and I had started my career at Condé Nast. I worked for many years at Mademoiselle magazine and Glamour, both of which are no longer in print, and I ended up at People magazine running their fashion and beauty department and putting out a special called Style Watch 4 times a year. And it did so well that the people at Time Inc. decided to make it a standalone 12-month a year issue. And so I basically ran that magazine for 10 years.
When was this? What period of time was this?
I started, the magazine launched in 2007, and I left in 2015. But before that, I was still the editor-in-chief while it was a special, so.
Tell me a bit about yourself. Where are you from originally? Are you a New Yorker? I imagine you are. because that's who goes around looking at stuff like that.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm from Westchester. I'm from a town called New Rochelle, which is only about a half an hour north of New York. But both of my grandparents, my grandmothers lived in Manhattan. One lived on the Upper East Side, one lived in Greenwich Village. She moved there when she was 70 from Akron, Ohio, by the way. And I always loved New York. I took ballet in the city, I went to jazz clubs. So New York was my home. I moved in officially, this will really age me, in the early 80s. And I've been living there ever since. But the funny thing is that you mention about me walking is, and I say this in the intro of my book, that when you're working and you're living in the city, you're not really looking around you and you're not really thinking of it as someplace you want to take pictures. You're just living your life and running and taking the subway. And it really wasn't until Instagram started and I got a Fitbit and I had a camera with me all the time that it made me start walking. And I started noticing things around me that were, I live in the middle of Greenwich Village on near one of 10th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue is one of the most beautiful blocks in New York and historic. And so I would just start walking and thinking, wow, that's a beautiful door. That's a beautiful building. What a charming shop. And I literally fell in love with New York City again when I started walking and really looking at it. And that was one of the messages I hope to get across in the book. It's where you live, like take the time to really look around you because you can really discover some incredible things, not just on vacation.
We'll get back to New York, but I wanted to ask you more also, of course, about the Hamptons because right. That's where the podcast is based. What did you find here to take pictures for the book to be that where it may be interesting rather than the obvious? I mean, the lighthouse is obvious. So
I ended with the lighthouse. That's probably the most iconic and not really what I normally would shoot, but I just felt I'd be remiss if I left it out. And I tried to take an angle of it where you see flowers and it's in the distance. So it's not your typical on the edge of the cliff, you know, that iconic lighthouse picture. But I love the intimate and the personal. So that's why I say walk with me because I love Sag Harbor specifically because it's such a great little walking village and it's feels to me sort of like the West Village in New York. And I've been coming out here since the 60s. And we bought our house in Amagansett in 1997. So again, I really wasn't taking pictures until I started posting, but I'm really attracted to the historic and the charming and the shingles and the cottages and the beauty that's been here for centuries, not the modern houses, not the, I really have a sense of history when I'm looking at the Hamptons. Mulford Farm and Home Sweet Home, it's one of my favorite places to shoot. Home Sweet Home is the cover of the book. So it's really the iconic, timeless charm of the Hamptons.
Well, give me some, I was about to ask you, give me specifics when you decided to do so, but you gave me two. Give me about five or six of them that you enjoyed in the book that you liked that stand out in your mind.
Honestly, if I just walk along Wainscott Main Street, I think it's one of the most beautiful spots out here. You have the Conklin House, which is this beautiful Victorian gingerbread, looking out over a cornfield in the summer and a pumpkin field in the fall. And then you walk along, and I say it in the book, it's like stepping back in time because so many of the original buildings are there. It still has a very rural feeling. So that's one of my favorite places to walk and shoot. And, you know, I discovered the Osborne Flower Girls has an old truck, then they sell the hydrangeas, and I met the owner of it. And you meet people when you're doing this too. So many of the houses that I've shot in Sag Harbor on Suffolk Street are some great, the sea captain's houses that have been renovated. And I shoot a lot of them all the time. And some of the owners now follow me on Instagram and have invited me in to see them. So it's just, it's funny because people have such pride of home here, especially when it's an historic home and has a story to tell. just even walking along James Lane in East Hampton past the cemetery, and you've got the little gardener cottage on the left near the gardener windmill. Windmills are so special here too. So
and
were
you know,
those enough examples for you?
Yes, you do know, or do you not know, that Home Sweet Home is sort of a fraud?
No, tell me.
Well,
I did a lot of research for this book, and it went back, and it sounds like the father was born there. It's a little, yeah. But you tell me.
There for a short time, but someone owned it after they were gone and decided to make it into a tourist attraction by calling it Home Sweet Home after the song that was written by the son of the person who'd been, I don't know, this isn't quite all that it's cracked up to be.
Well, you know what's funny, Dan? You should speak to this. When I was doing research for the book and I called, East Hampton has been known as America's most beautiful town. And then I saw that you did a little investigative work into how that actually came about. And that's a bit of a fraud too. So I had to parse my words very carefully because it's been referred to as, but it was never actually called that in a legitimate way in what magazine was it's supposed to have come out of?
I was told by the LVIS, who chastised me for seeing some boys jump over a fence to get into the fair, that I should mind my own business. It was the most beautiful village in America, according to the Saturday Evening Post.
Oh, it was the Saturday Evening Post.
And I believed them. I mean, this is like Abraham Lincoln.
Legitimate, yeah.
So I just put that, I couldn't ever find it. And now you call the mayor's office and that's how they answered the phone.
Yeah, well, you know, it is beautiful, so we'll stick with it, right?
Yeah, how about the ocean? Is that been part of what you like you have in the books? So how
I do. I live near Indian Wells and Atlantic Beach, so I have the beach shack and I have a nice beach scene. You know, my pictures aren't as much about nature as they are sort of natural beauty mixed with architecture. So I love the main beach in East Hampton and just looking down the boardwalk there to the structure, and you see the beach, but you have to include the beach too. And Montauk was interesting because I wasn't even sure if I could fit Montauk in the book because it doesn't really have that New England-y charm. And I really had to start from scratch with Montauk. So I did a lot of driving and walking there, and I actually fell in love with Montauk too, and I have a few more beachy nature things from Montauk that are just I loved it. It was, you can find the charm and you funky charm.
Where do you live out here? What town?
I'm in Amagansett.
And I guess I imagine the Coast Guard station is one of the,
yes, that's in the book too. Yeah, good history there.
What are you going to do next?
I do have another project, and it will be a New York-based project, but I really can't divulge yet. It will be a book coming out in fall 2026. So when it's official and I can announce, you'll be the first to know.
But tell me a little bit about your growing up and what you got interested in. Did you ever want to be something totally other than it turned out?
I was always very much a person who loved painting and drawing and dance. My interests were always in the creative field. So I spent one summer at Rhode Island School of Design when I was in high school, and because I thought I was going to be an artist, and I realized I don't have the commitment and there are way more talented people out there than I. So I ended up being an art history major in college, but I've always been drawn to photography. It's more than painting, more than sculpture. I just love photography and photographers. So when I started in magazines, it was sort of the best of both worlds of that I love to travel and I got to work with incredible photographers, and it really was just what I was drawn to. Growing up, I never had a camera. It just didn't even enter my mind. And when I started working in magazines, I bought a Nikon with a 85 millimeter lens, and I actually started shooting my own pictures for the magazines while I was working there. So that really became what I loved the most. But growing up, anything creative was what I was drawn to. Music, I played piano. My parents were both doctors, and that just wasn't going to happen for me. So,
what high school and college did you go to for your?
So I went to New Rochelle High School. I was in what's known as an alternative program where we didn't get grades and we called our teachers by their names. It was the 70s. It was experimental. And then I ended up going to Washington University in St. Louis, which was the polar opposite of my high school experience. But I spent my entire junior year abroad in Italy. I lived in Florence. That became the second love of my life. I speak Italian. And I moved back there after college for another year. So,
you have a family. You want to talk a little bit about that or not?
That's fine. I'm married with the same person for, I think we're coming up on 33 years. We met at Mademoiselle Magazine. He was an art director. No children, but we're on our third lab. So I feel like I'm sort of a dog child. But growing up, my family's very nearby. I have five nieces and nephews, so a lot of family time.
What do you enjoy doing when you're out here?
I honestly love the slower pace of life, and especially when it's not summer. So I spend a lot of my mornings at Amberways Farm, where I have a crew of people that have become friends, and I love just hanging out there. And then just depending on the day, you know, I walk the dog, I meet someone for lunch. I'm not really that much of a beach person anymore. I used to be, but that's not really the draw for me here. And again, I like to walk and take pictures. So on any given day, I might be out perusing.
Are you out here right now as we speak?
I am. I'm sitting in my Amagansett. That's why I have a fireplace and a shark jaw behind me. So... So we have a lot of nautical things in the house.
And we also have an old photograph of what looks like rowers, maybe
yes.
from the Olympics or something. What is that?
I'm not sure where it's from. We've collected a lot of old vintage photos of summertime people playing tennis and at camp. And I also have a lot of old family photos all over the house. As I said, I'm a photography buff. And this house itself, interestingly, was originally the oldest part of the house was a cobbler shop next to the Hook Windmill in East Hampton before it was moved to its present location. And it was added on to in the 20s and the 60s. So it's kind of a rambling shingled cottage with history to it.
Yes, a lot of them were. When
yeah.
I first got out here, when I was a teenager, but it was in the mid-50s, and where you are now, these were all broken down and the whole area was decrepit. People weren't even living in it. The buildings were in such bad shape. And it was a company town. They had a loon whistle and people going to work and with lunch pails, and it was a whole different experience.
Yeah.
It's been quite a walk. Do you learn stuff when you walk up and down the street? I haven't ever really done that seriously.
I do, in the sense that when I shoot a house or I shoot a building, before I post it on Instagram, I always Google it just to see if there's any interesting information about it. And the funny thing is, I've shot a lot of houses. I have absolutely no idea who lives in these houses. And also in the city, and I'll post something and people say, oh, did you know that's so-and-so's house? So it ends up being some, you know, pretty major celebrity. And I never put that in my comments because I don't want to out anybody or show people where they live, but I guess it's pretty common knowledge. So I've had a lot of those discoveries too. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I never knew that.
I actually, what I meant, and we'll close with this, I was more interested to hear what the talk of the street is. If you walk, have you been out yesterday? Did you get out? It was a holiday.
Yeah, no, I was at Amber. I hear a lot when I'm at Amber Waves. You can get a lot of very interesting conversations because it's packed pretty tightly. So walking, I'm not really listening to people or paying attention to the word on the street. But when I'm having my coffee, you get some interesting conversations.
Yes, you do. Well, it's been very interesting talking to you. I wasn't going to mention this, but I was contacted about 3 years ago by Vaseline, the publisher in Paris, to write the commentary to a big photo book.
I love your book. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah, and all those pictures were just given to me. In other words, work around those. And when I saw what you were doing, and I thought that was a wonderful way to do it. So I thought,
it's a very different take, but each one, I mean, Asseline does really exquisite books, and they really capture not just what a place looks like, but the people. And it's a very different sort of book, but beautiful. So if you want a giant coffee table book, you buy the Asseline Hamptons. And if you want the book that sits on top, which is a bit smaller and a little more intimate, you get Walk With Me Hamptons.
Well, thank you for being on the
podcast. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.